Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Anyone excited to be at church today? Awesome. Well, today we are concluding our series, Family Blueprint, and we're going to look at the relationship between parents and kids. Before we get into that, I want to give a few shout-outs. First off, every Sunday is someone's first time at Next Level Church, so would you help me welcome our first-time guests that are here today? I also want to give a special shout-out to those who are watching online and especially to our military community. Would you help me welcome them? And I want to give one final special shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to everyone that works in our TOTS and kids teams. Our TOTS are birth through preschool, and our kids is kindergarten through fifth grade. And one of the reasons I want to give this shout-out is because kids are incredibly important to us. And I remember being a kid growing up in church. It was very difficult. Like, our churches, we didn't have kids' environments. As a kid, I had to go to church in big church with my parents, and then we had something called Sunday school afterwards. And so that hour with my parents was brutal. It was horrible. Like, I didn't understand anything. I didn't like anything. I didn't learn anything. I brought coloring books. I brought action figures. I didn't pay attention. And when the kid doesn't pay attention, the parents have a hard time paying attention. So at Next Level, what we've said is we want your kids to learn about God. We don't want them bored. We don't want them checking out. We want them to hear about God in an age-appropriate way. And so that's why we provide Next Level Kids right down the hallway. I highly recommend it. It's the best place for them to learn about God. But it also removes the distraction from you and allows parents to also learn from God. So would you help me thank our TOTS and kids teams for all they do? All right, we're going to dive into the conclusion of our series, and if you missed a week of this series, I highly recommend you check out the replay of the sermon on YouTube. You can find us, Next Level Church 757. What we're doing in this series is we're looking at the blueprint that the Apostle Paul lays out for us in Scripture. Paul was a primetime player in the Scriptures. He wrote over half of the New Testament, and he writes a letter to Christians living in Ephesus, and he gives them some instructions on the family. Now, I want to make sure that I do a little bit of review to make sure that we're all on the same page. Whether you missed a week or you just have a hard time remembering what we covered, Paul gives instructions to the family starting in chapter 5. But really, we need to go back to chapter 4. Because in chapter 4, he gives each individual Christian instructions and basically tells us, get your life together. Get your life right. Worship Jesus. Follow Jesus. Obey Jesus. And this is one of the reasons why every week in this series I've looked at a quote by Pastor Timothy Keller. Timothy Keller says, Paul assumes that each spouse already has settled the big questions of life, why they were made by God and who they are in Christ. Why were you made by God? That's your purpose. That's why you exist. You were made on purpose and for purpose by God. You were not made just to exist. You were not made just to do a job from 9 to 5, 4 or 5 days a week. You were not made just to live a few years in this earth and then die. You have a purpose. God has given you a purpose. He has given you a reason to live. And he has given each Christian spiritual gifts that we are to use. And when we use our spiritual gifts for God, we find our purpose. When we do what God has created us to do for his glory, for his fame, it gives us a purpose in life. And this is one of the reasons that I absolutely love Pizza with the Pastor, something that we do at Next Level Church. Every single month, we give people an opportunity to join our serve teams and to learn more about our church. And as a part of Pizza with the Pastor, we give everyone a spiritual gift inventory that allows every person to learn. What are your spiritual gifts? So if you're here today and you're like, yeah, I don't know my purpose or I don't know why God created me, there's a test that can actually help you figure that out. And what I learned is that the gift that God gave me is to teach or to preach. That doesn't mean I'm the best in the world. It's just that's the gift God gave me. And it's up to me now that I know my gift to use it, to work on it, to make it the best that I can because God gave me this gift. And when you know what your gift is from God and you use it for his fame and glory, it gives you purpose. It gives you a reason to wake up in the morning. So your purpose is why you are here. But your identity is who you are. And Paul wants to make sure that every single Christian knows your purpose and your identity before you get married. I was reading this week an article on the state of teenagers in America, and it's incredibly alarming. The article featured stats from the CDC, because the CDC released its youth risk behavior survey, and the results are really alarming. 57% of teenage girls in 2021 report feeling persistently sad or hopeless, up from 36% in 2011. Okay, let that sink in just for a little bit. in 10 years, we've gone up 20%. Similarly, 29% of teen boys feel persistently sad or hopeless, up from 21% a decade ago. 30% of teenage girls have seriously considered suicide, up from 19% in 2011. What is going on in our world that these stats are jumping? It's leading educators, it's leading psychologists, it's leading everyone to scratch their head and say, why? Why is there such this drastic jump in these trends? No one knows the exact answer, but can I just give you my theory? My theory is around 2011, 2010, our culture started preaching really, really hard, live your truth. What your truth is matters. What your truth is, what matters to you, that is the most important thing. And the more we are focused on ourselves, the more selfish we become, and the more selfish we become, the more self-harm we are doing to ourselves. You are not to live your truth. The Bible is really clear. We are to live for God's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is who we are to live for. And we are raising a whole generation that doesn't know their purpose. They don't know their identity. So they're living in this world just wandering around looking for hope and looking for answers. And the answer the world gives them is yourself. Live your truth. It's killing our teenagers. And so as Christians, we are to figure out and to learn, what is our identity? What is our purpose? And if you're here today and you are single, you actually have an advantage over married couples. Because you can spend your single years learning your purpose and your identity. Way too many married couples, they get married and they think that they're going to find their identity in their spouse. Or they're going to find their purpose in their spouse. And they don't, and it leads to massive issues. So I know the single years can be challenging. I know the single years can be hard if you're single. But this is an advantage to you to figure out why God has created you, what your purpose is, and what your identity is. So from there, Paul then gives the order of family. And we looked at this last week, that the order for family is God first, spouse second, kids third. Now, this does not mean that you neglect your kids or you say, I don't need to worry about you because you're third on the list. That's not what this is talking about at all. What Paul is helping us see is that our kids are going to take a lot of our time. And because they take a lot of our time and energy, we have to be intentional to make sure that we are pouring time into the other two relationships. Because the goal of parenting is to raise kids to leave. One day your kids are going to leave, and when they leave, you want to have a great relationship with your spouse, and you don't want to neglect that spouse for 18, 20 years. You want to pour into them. You want to be just as madly in love with them once the kids leave as before you had kids. And during this whole process, during every stage of parenting, we want to make sure that we're intentional about our time with God, that we prioritize time with God, that we make sure that we are praying and reading the scriptures and growing in our faith. So from here then, Paul then gives some instructions for kids and for parents. And that's what we're going to look at today. Our theme verse, it is aimed at children, but I think no matter if you're single, if you're married, if you have kids, I think there's some stuff in here that all of us can apply to our lives. So with that being said, at Next Level, we stand to honor the text. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud our theme verse, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. When we get to the reference, you'll see two dots between the 6 and the 1. We like to have a little bit of fun. We just pump our fists and say dot, dot. I want to invite you to do the dot, dot with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Ephesians 6, dot, dot, 1 through 3. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. I invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want to give you a few seconds just to quietly talk to God. If you don't know what to pray, I invite you to pray a simple prayer. God, speak to my heart and give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do. Would you spend a few seconds just quietly talking to Him? God, we do come before you and we just are so thankful that you still speak today, that we're not left on our own, that we can actually hear from you. And the primary way that you speak is through your word. So we ask that you would speak right now to our hearts. When you speak, we often become afraid. So give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do, no matter how afraid we are. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I want to dive right into our text, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Paul starts off by saying children. Now I want to stop there just for a second, This is addressed to kids. So the question is what age are you no longer a kid? In America, we've said that kids stop being kids at the age of 18. They will always be your kid, but at some point a kid transitions. They leave from under your authority to becoming an adult themselves. And so this is addressed primarily to those who would be birthed through 18 years old. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now I want to stop there just for a second, because this is actually a highlight that helps us understand week one. If you missed week one, it's incredibly important to understand, because the starting of the blueprint for the family relationship is husbands and wives. And when Paul talks to husbands and wives, he does not say obey. He uses a different word. He uses the word submit. That word is triggering to some, but we've looked at it's actually not that scary of a word. The Greek word that Paul uses for submit is the word hupotasso. And it is a military term that literally means to yield or defer out of respect. To submit means to yield. It means to willingly lay yourself down, to say, for the good of our relationship, I'm going to allow you to go first. I'm going to put your needs first. So often in marriage, marriages have what is like a tug of war, and they are fighting against each other, and each one is trying to fight for their rights and fight for what they want. And the biblical picture of a Christian marriage is not a tug of war, but a three-legged race, where you are running together with each other and you're focused on the goal, which is Jesus, and you're willingly saying, for the good of our relationship, we are going to yield to one another. But then Paul gets to kids, and he doesn't say the word submit, he says the word obey. The Greek word for obey or obedience is hupako. That's a fun word to say. Would you humor me and just say that on the count of three? One, two, three. Hupako. Hupako means to listen under. That's literally what it means. So when someone in Paul's day and age heard the word hupako, they would know that it meant to follow a command, to conform, or to comply with an order. So children are challenged by Paul. If you're a child and you are a Christian, your command is to obey. It's to fall in line. It's to willingly say, for the good of our relationship, I'm going to do what my parents have asked me to do. And this actually goes along perfectly within what Paul says to parents, but specifically to fathers. We highlighted this last week, but I think it goes with it so perfectly, I want to talk about it again. Ephesians 6, 4, Paul says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So the kid's job is to obey. The parent's job is to not exasperate your children. Well, what does that mean? Well, the literal word means to provoke to anger. Now, we need to talk about this for just a second. Because if you have kids, you know that it doesn't take much to provoke some of them to anger. Like, you're like, why are you mad? Like, I just woke up. I haven't even, like, said anything to you, and you're mad. Like, I don't understand. Like, I made the meal that you wanted, and why you're mad at me? Like, I don't understand what's going on here. Paul is not saying that you will never make your kids mad. What Paul is trying to do, he's trying to elevate your role, that you are not to be a tyrant. You're not to just walk in the room and say, it's my way or the highway. You are to discipline your kids, but you are to discipline them with love and with grace. I like what one commentary says. It says, remember the audience Paul was writing to. Ephesus was a Greek city, and the ancient Greece was a decidedly patriarchal society. Fathers were kings of their homes and wielded near total unquestionable authority. Paul's teaching here opposes this principle. Fathers are not to act like tyrants in their own households and produce restless or rebellious children who resent their treatment. Rather, fathers are to be like our own Heavenly Father, nurturing, loving, and merciful. So the role of the father, and ultimately the role of the parents, is to train and discipline your kids, but it's not just do it my way because I said it. It is to nurture them with love, with grace, with mercy. There's a psychologist that did a study on kids, and one of the things that they found is that the way that parents talk to their kids and the way that parents treat their kids ultimately becomes the voice in their head that they hear. And as Christian families, the voice that the kids hear, often they say that is the voice of God. So the way that you speak to your kids and the way that you talk to your kids ultimately ends up becoming a record player in their mind, and it's how they view themselves, and it's ultimately how they view the voice of God. And Paul is elevating your role by saying, listen, yeah, you got to discipline your kids, but make sure that you're doing it with love. You don't just walk in as a tyrant and not care about them. You got to make sure that you love them, that you care them, that you support them. That when they hear from you, they are not hearing from your brokenness, but they're hearing from the healing that God has done in your life. Isn't it difficult to parent kids? It's really difficult to parent kids when we're broken ourselves. And so many issues in parenting come from the fact that we haven't healed from the wounds that our parents caused us. And this is why what Paul says in chapter 4 is so incredibly important, because before you can raise a kid, you got to make sure that you've allowed God to heal your heart. Because if you're not healed on the inside, if you haven't overcome the wounds that your parents or your upbringing caused in you, you're going to end up unloading those onto your kids. You're going to parent out of shame. You're going to parent out of guilt, and there's no place for that. You can discipline your kids, yes, but it should be done out of a place of love and coaching. Please hear me on this. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Parents, if you don't heal from what hurt you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. I know that some of you had really rough upbringings, and I know it, but can I just tell you, it's not your kids' fault. I know that some of you had very dysfunctional homes and your parents fought all the time, or your parents weren't around, or your parents just heaped shame on you and you don't even know a different way. But can I just tell you, it's not your kids' fault. And as a parent, you've got to do the hard work of allowing God to heal you from the inside out. That means that some of you need to swallow your pride and you need to go see a counselor. That means that some of you need to join a support group that can help you heal. You need to confess some things to people. You need to talk about some of these dark things that you don't want to bring up, some of the things from your upbringing that you just want to bury. They are coming out onto your kids, and God is challenging you. You've got to raise your kids in a household that is removed from the junk from your childhood. And the only way to do that is allow God to heal us from the inside out. We've got to heal from the wounds that came from our childhood. In other words, we've got to make sure that we're not bleeding on our kids. Things that they didn't even cause. Yeah. So let's see what Paul says next. Ephesians 6:4, we just read it. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. So don't intentionally make them angry. Discipline them. They're going to get angry no matter what. But don't just walk in the room and just upset them for no reason. Bring them, instead of doing that, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. As a parent, it is your responsibility to train your kids and instruct them in the Lord. Did you know that no one else is going to take on this job? And you may be saying, well, I don't really know how to train my kids in the Lord. I don't know how to pray myself, or I don't know how to read the scriptures. You better learn. You got to learn. There's resources out there. If you don't train your kids and teach your kids about the world that we live in and how to honor God, they're going to learn something. And a lot of times the things that they learn are not the correct view of God, and they're not the correct view of how we are to live. We cannot just hope that our kids learn the right things. We've got to be intentional about it. We've got to grow ourselves. And so I want to share with you some parenting resources that I would highly encourage you to read. I want to give you some books. And I know that some of you right away are going to say, well, I'm not a reader. You know what? You've got to get over that excuse. You just got to. One of the best ways to learn and to grow yourself is to learn to read. I'm not a reader myself. Can I tell you what I've done to read? I put myself in book clubs. That is, I ask a friend, say, hey, there's a book I want to read. Will you meet with me once a month? And then I have accountability. I also join a group at Next Level Group, where Next Level Church. We'll do a book every single semester, and it forces me to read a book. I don't like reading. I'd prefer to watch the movie every day to the book. But I know that one of the ways to grow, one of the best ways to grow, is to literally read. So even if it takes you 1 year to read one book on parenting, your kids will thank you for it. So I want to give you some resources that these are very helpful for parenting, depending on what stage of parenting you're in. Here's a book. This is not a Christian book, but there is some great stuff that helps with your kids developmentally and the stages they go through. It's called No Drama Discipline. And it focuses on the whole brain and the fact that your kids change from phase to phase. So especially if you have littles in the house or you have kids that are transitioning into the teenage years, I highly recommend No Drama Discipline. Here's another one that's really helpful, Boundaries with Kids. I recommend the whole Boundary series. I think it's very helpful. But How Healthy Choices Grow Healthy Children. And Boundaries is a Christian book, a Christian series. I highly recommend Boundaries with Kids. Here's another one for you, Shepherding a Child's Heart. If you want to learn to discipline with truth and grace and help them to understand what God's calling is for them, this is a great book that I recommend. And one final one, Parenting by Paul David Tripp. And it's Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. especially if you're newer to the church scene or you are like, hey, I don't really know what the gospel is. I don't really understand. I don't know how to raise godly kids. This is a great book for you, written by a pastor, Paul David Tripp. So I highly recommend that you find those books. If you don't like my suggestions, that's fine. Go find one. Go ask someone. But it is up to you to heal and to grow, to make sure that you are raising kids in a household where they honor God. And can I just tell you that I think that one of the reasons these stats are just skyrocketing for our kids being unhealthy is because as parents, we've been so busy. We're allowing the internet to raise our kids. We're allowing television to raise our kids. We're allowing their friends to raise them. And no one is in their life teaching them how to honor God and what that looks like. It is your role. God gave you kids to raise them, to train them, to teach them on what it means to honor God. And if you don't do it, I can promise you someone else will. My wife and I, we started practicing from the very early days of our kids where we would go on vacation at least one time a year without the kids. And we would leave them most of the time with family, but sometimes there were some family friends that we would leave our kids with. And it was only for like a night, maybe two at the most. But one of the times when we left our kids with this family, we were leaving them literally to go to a Los Angeles Lakers basketball game. I'm a huge Lakers fan, and we've been to multiple games, and this was our agenda. We were going to the game. We knew that our kids were really little. We knew they wouldn't enjoy the game, so we left them with these friends. And while we are away watching the Los Angeles Lakers, this family sends me the following video. Now, understand the quality is bad because it's over 10 years old, but just listen to what they are indoctrinating my kids with. Check this out.
Hey, do you like the Celtics? Reese, do you like the Celtics?
Yeah.
See that, Rob? Go Bulls, by the way.
Do you like the Celtics?
Yeah.
Yeah, say go Celtics.
Yeah.
Say go Celtics.
No.
Oh, what? Say go Celtics. Go Celtics. Yeah, in a minute.
You better believe the second I got home, I righted this wrong. And I sent the family this video. Check this out.
Do you like the Celtics?
No.
No? Reese Hayden, when you hear Celtics, what do you say?
Boo.
Reese, what do you say?
I'm telling you, if you're not intentional with your kids, someone else will be. And it's up to you to make sure that they understand your values, but not just your values, ultimately the values that God sets. There's a guy that I follow on Instagram. His username is Red Pen Logic, and he is a great follow on Instagram. I personally recommend him. But he recently said this about parenting, and I think it's really helpful. Check this out.
The Marines have this motto, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. It's obvious, right? You train so you don't bleed out. But we're sending our kids out in this battle. And honestly, the battle isn't like out there at the university. It's like as soon as they hold one of these and they see all these ideas flooding in. Now they're exposed to all the ideas out there and all this stuff that's going on. I'm sick of it. We need to do better. And one of those things we can be doing, just one, is to start training the minds of our students. Let's pray. Father.
So one of the things that we can do better is to train the minds of our kids. And you say, well, that's indoctrination. Well, I mean, you train them for other things, right? You train them about sports teams. You train them about how to do chores. You train them about other things. Who else is supposed to train them to love God and to honor God? When they're 18, they can make the decision if they want to follow your teachings or not. But while they are in your house, it is your responsibility to help expose them and help them understand who God is and that God has a purpose and plan for them. And no one else can do this as well as you can. All right, so from there, let's keep reading. See what Paul says next. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The next part of the verse is the one we're going to focus on now. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now you may notice in that verse that Paul uses quotes, and these quotes would have been very evident to his audience. They would have known who it is. If you grew up in church, you're probably aware right away who Paul is talking about, what he's talking about here. In case you're new to the church scene, Paul is referencing something called the Ten Commandments. In the Old Testament of the Bible, God gives Moses, one of the leaders of his people, 10 commandments, 10 principles to live by. And these 10 commandments, they're good rules. They're things like don't murder, don't covet, like don't steal. They're rules that we would say these are just good for society. Whether a person believes in God or not, these are just really, really good rules. Well, Paul highlights these commandments, and if you're ever like, well, I can't remember all 10 of them, Jesus summarized the 10 commandments this way. He said, love God and love people. That summarizes the 10 commandments. In fact, what's interesting about the 10 commandments is the first 5 commandments are geared towards your relationship with God, how to love God. The second 5 are focused on your relationship with people, how to love and get along with other people. And Paul highlights that out of these 10 commandments, there's only one that comes with a promise. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So we're supposed to follow all the 10 commandments, but only one of them comes with a promise, and it's to honor your father and your mother. Well, that word, honor, is the word kabod, and it literally means heavy or weighty. To honor someone is to grant them the position of authority in your life. When you honor your father and mother, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. It doesn't mean that they're always going to make the right decisions. But especially from the birth through 18 years old, when you say, God has placed you in my life as my authority, and even when I don't love it, I'm going to follow under your authority, you are honoring ultimately not just your parents, but you're ultimately honoring God. To honor someone is to grant them a position of authority in your life. Now, we live in a society today that no one likes authority, and everyone's pushing back on all sorts of authorities. And there are authorities that are not honoring to God that we should push back on, and we should have hard conversations. You got to remember, Paul is writing this to Christians, and he's saying, first of all, parents, get your stuff together and follow Jesus and love God. And when you're following God, you are the authority. And as the authority, your kids may buck against it. They may say, I don't like that. They may not want to follow your authority, but you are still in charge. But if you're here today and you would say that you're still in the birth through 18, hopefully middle school, high school, if you're here, then you need to understand that this is a short season in your life. And you may not like the rules that your parents set up, but ultimately they're setting up these rules because they want what's best for you. And they're ultimately trying to protect you. And when you learn to come under their authority, you actually learn a very important biblical principle. And that is what it means to come under the authority of God. I want to illustrate this this way, because I think this is really important for us to understand. When we come under authority, God does something for us. And I'm going to ask for a little help. Connor, can you come up here real quick? Yeah, just leave your notes there. Just leave them there. Come run up here real quick. All right. This is my nephew, Connor. Everyone say hi, Connor. All right. This is a big umbrella. Hold this guy right there. All right, hit that button right there. Whoa! It's big. All right, come stand over here. I want you to stand right, yeah, stand right here. Face them, though. Okay. All right, you look good. You're doing great. You're doing awesome. All right, so here's the thing with authority. When we have godly authority in our life, and as the kid, we willingly place ourselves under the authority, this is the parents. This represents the parents in our life. This represents the authority. And when we say, okay, I may not like all the rules, I may not like everything you said, but I understand God has placed you in my life to learn how to submit, to learn how to obey under your authority. When we willingly choose to do this, it comes with a promise. And the promise is that it will go well with our life. Now, this is a really hard world to live in. This is a difficult world. And there's lots of issues in this world. There's lots of problems. And a lot of times when kids fight against our rules, they fight against our rules because they think that we're taking away their freedom. What they don't understand is that the rules that we set actually give them more freedom. That when you give your kids a bedtime, they're like, that's so mean. It's actually, no, I'm giving you more freedom because you're going to have more freedom when you feel more awake than when you're dying at school because you're so tired. When you give your kids a curfew and they have to come in at a certain time, they may say, well, none of my friends have a curfew. That's so mean. But you're not doing that to limit their life. You're actually doing it to give them more freedom. Because when they honor your authority, it actually provides more freedom. You have more freedom when you're not in trouble than when you are in trouble. Who has more freedom, someone in jail or someone not in jail? When you follow your parents' authority, it actually provides more freedom. And so here's how this works. The world is incredibly hard, and your parents give you these rules. And when you say, okay, I'm going to choose to follow under their authority, when the world tries to hit you with all sorts of things, just let them roll. This is fun. You are under their protection. But, Connor, just put the umbrella by your side for just a second. When you choose not to come under their authority, you end up losing the protection that God has given you. Put the umbrella back up for a second. The rules that your parents set while we're in the home is set to protect us. Now, as parents, you got to make sure that you're following God and you're honoring God and you're not exasperating your kids. You got to make sure that you're setting up rules that are reasonable, that are for their good, and are not rules out of your hurt, out of your brokenness. And when you do that, you protect your kids. And one day when your kids get out of the house and they grow up and they get out 18 years old, they're going to look back and they're going to say, you know what? I didn't like that I had a curfew. I didn't like that my parents had rules, but I'm so glad I don't have the same baggage that everyone else has. Because the rules protected me. And without it, all right, would you help me thank Connor for being up here? I didn't really think through how to close this. There we go. All right, so you get a choice. And I want to make sure that you hear this. Paul is giving kids the choice. And you know that you have a choice because when your parents tell you to do something, you choose whether you want to obey or not. As a kid, you've got to make the decision. If you're in middle school or high school, if you have godly parents who are doing their best, your role is to honor them. And how do you honor them? You come under their authority. Why is this important? Well, it's important because one day you're going to leave your parents' household. And most likely you'll have a job. And when you have a job, you'll have a boss. And when you have a boss, you have some authority. And most people don't know how to come under authority because they didn't practice it at home. And when we get a job and we're not the boss and there's someone over us, we've got to learn, okay, how do I honor them? How do I do what they tell me? If they're not telling me to do anything that is dishonoring to God, if they're not telling me to go against my convictions, then it's my job, it's my role to come under their authority. And even if you are the boss, guess what? You still have authority you have to come under. There's still a government. There's still a local government and national government. There's always someone that is over you. There's always someone that you can practice coming under their authority. And why is this ultimately important? It's ultimately important because we are to model for our kids what it looks like to come under the authority of God. And so many of us have lost the protection of God because we don't like to come under the authority of God. If you want to honor your parents as a kid, birth through 18, the best way to do that is to follow the rules that they've set and to support them and understand it's difficult. And when you do that, it comes with a promise. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Why does it go well with you? Because you're in less trouble when you honor and obey than you are when you break the rules. So may we be a people that honors God. May we be parents that gets our junk together and allows God to heal us. May we forgive our parents for not meeting our needs that they didn't even know that we had. May we parent our kids out of healing and wholeness, and not out of brokenness. And may our kids learn to obey, not just because we're in charge, but because it's honoring to God. We pray with me, God, we come before you, and we just thank you so much that you are a God who teaches us and shows us grace and helps us to learn. And right now, God, I just submit to you that there are a lot of us who are hurting. We are hurting from the wounds that were caused from our own childhood. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would start to provide healing, that you would give us the courage to seek counseling, that you would help mend us from the inside out. And God, we ask that you would help us to be parents that point the way to you, that we would raise godly kids who love you and know you, and that they would see from the example and the way that we live our lives. As we move on from this series and into a new series next week, God, I ask that you'd help us not to forget these principles and forget these challenges, but to commit our lives to them so that we can honor you. We thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.